It's The Record on KUOW with Steve Scheer. I'm David Hyde, and they say it's better than the alternative, getting old, that is. But if you're a Hollywood actress, getting old is treated like a contagious disease. People don't want to hire you. They don't want to work with you. Annabelle Gurwitch knows all about it. She's a longtime screen and television actress. She's over 50 years old. Methuselah by Hollywood standards. Gurwitch has written about it in her new book. It's called I See You Made an Effort. Annabelle Gurwitch spoke earlier with our colleague Marcy Silman about aging and the mile marker that is age 50.
The number 50, it just is a big number. And I had this idea, you know, when I was writing the book, it was I did have a little thesis behind it. You know, I always think in comedy, you have these messages. And mine was that there is this, you know, canard about 40 being the new 30, 50 being the new 40. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Why are we running away from who we are? And I really thought there was a kind of disempowerment by not, at one point I considered titling the book Occupy 50, because I had started the book during the Occupy movement. I actually thought I was going to finish the book. I started it at 49. I thought I would finish it at 50. There'd be like a big party book release, but my menopausal brain worked so slowly it took me 2 extra years.
Well, one of the things I was wondering was whether you had consciously gone into writing. I know you started off that acting was going to be the thing you did, mm-hmm. and it has been the thing that you've done, but whether at some point, you know, like, I'm going to break up with acting before it breaks up with me, I'm going to proactively become a writer, or if it was more unconscious.
No, it was conscious. First of all, I look a lot younger on the page. No, I'm kidding. First of all, I'm trying to remain vital, remain visible, but I'm not trying to be anything other than I am now. But yeah, at a certain point, you know, the acting work, unless you are a movie star, you know, I do write something in the book about how we always in the culture, we like having one old person. I remember when I saw Harold and Maude, Ruth Gordon, she's Vanessa, now we've got Betty White. You know, so for as an actress, when you're looking towards the future, you go like, well, if I'm not that one person, you know, the work is very small. And what interests me isn't, of course, there's always room for the movie star. It's just like every other business, a CEO business in America. I worked in that middle class of actress, and that's like the middle in every industry, what disappeared. But I'm also, the thing is when I started working as an actress, I started in theater, and I started because I liked being a part of telling stories. Now I'm writing the stories, but in a way, it's very much the same thing. And it's the same impulse, which is, I love storytelling. Now I'm just writing the stories. But I didn't set out to write a book about turning 50. It just, there's a, you know, that every 7.5 seconds someone in America turns 50, I'm always interested in what's happening in the culture. And this is a huge shift in our demographic. And, you know, I write about the sandwich generation. Mm-hmm. So because we are having kids older as a byproduct of feminism, I've got a 16-year-old at home. He's going through puberty. I'm going through menopause. He's got too many hormones. I don't have any hormones. He's raging. I'm raging. He's crying. I'm crying. It's a disaster. My mother was a grandmother at 50. I never saw this. So we're going through this. Also, I've got aging parents. It's called the sandwich generation. Yep. I thought this is a really important trend to write about. And so that's what interests me, is what's happening.
And some of it sounds so very serious when we talk about it. Obviously, a lot of it's funny. But there is one chapter that, even though you mm-hmm. tried to make it funny, wasn't so funny to me. And it was a chapter about cancer. It was poignant. It wasn't that it was unfunny. It was poignant. Mm-hmm. A very good friend of yours died of cancer.
Yeah.
And you have one essay in here about it wasn't good cancer. It was the kind you die from, pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, it's the bad cancer. And, you know, there. I mean, this is where, I mean, of course, the way that I always cope with things is humor. And my friend who had pancreatic cancer, which I am old enough to know, is one of the bad cancers. You know, when I was younger, I didn't know good one, bad one. Now, this is one of those products of aging that I know these things. Now, my friend happened to have been a comedy producer who had transitioned herself. You know, reinvention is the word they use for aging out of your career, going to a new career. And she actually was a bereavement therapist. She brought her comedy background to her oncology groups that she worked with. So in a way, this was this big test of for herself. Could she find humor in through this journey? And there were some hilarious moments and some horrible moments. And we did do an assisted suicide with her at the very end game. It was all of her close friends together. And there were these, you know, I mean, it was this moment, you know, one of these great moments in my life. And the moments I never unexpected, and the moment where I had to wake her up in the middle of the night when she was falling into that deep sleep and say, "You can't die yet. I don't know your computer password." I mean, you know, you just think, oh, this is crazy. And I try to capture that because many of us are going to find ourselves in those situations.
You know, it's interesting what you said about humor, because a couple weeks ago I interviewed a neuroscientist about where the joke happens in our brain and that it produces dopamine. And of course, I can't remember where it happens in the brain because I'm not just over 50. I am 60. So, you know, I have half the brain cells you have now. They just disappear exponentially after 50. But there is a it's not just a coping mechanism. There's actually a biological reason that we need to laugh as human beings, I think.
You know, again, I'm totally interested. I always read a lot of science. I'm like a science geek, but I don't really totally understand it, but I love it. And, you know, actually, I know that that is true. And there was, you know, a lot of basis for this in the training that she did as a bereavement therapist. And I know for myself, I mean, they've always done these studies, you know, how quickly after crises and disaster do people turn to jokes? This is the brain, we need this as humans to laugh about these things. And, you know, there are, because I'm that kind of person as well, you know, I was an NPR commentator and wrote for The Nation magazine. My brain, I'm really interested always in the connection between, you know, my life and what's happening in the world. And I always like to have little sort of like research things that I always bury into my work. So, for instance, in the chapter about taking my son to a concert, I include something about brain neuroplasticity. So, you know, it's actually a sign of brain health to be open to new music. And I know, so I bury these little things in there, because actually the funny thing is about taking my son to this concert was I really liked the music, and I have been trying to, I realized I was sort of stuck in a loop of Joni Mitchell and I know it's really embarrassing.
Joni Mitchell.
And Fleetwood Mac. As one of my signs that you might be turning 50 is if you still know the lyrics to all the Fleetwood Mac songs. But because I have a teenager, you know, I'm like, oh, I mean, first of all, it's so hard. But one of the great things is I get to hear about new music, and I've gotten myself to listen to new music because it's also good for the brain. It's one of those things that helps your brain health. So just a little bonus when you're reading the book. I have lots of footnotes about fun little things that are byproducts of it. Just more. That's why the book is called "I See You Made an Effort," because actually it takes a lot of effort, and it's, you know, the amount of vitamins and supplements and exercise you need for a person of a certain age and sleep you need, and you have to remain economically viable. And now Annabelle Gurwitch is saying, I have to listen to new music too, right? But, you know, you do.
Annabelle Gurwitch, her new textbook on aging is called I See You Made an Effort, Compliments and Dignities and Survival Stories from the Edge of 50. Thank you so much for coming by.
Oh, thank you. I hope I've given you some assignments.
You have.
Annabelle Gurwitch speaking with our colleague, Marcy Silman. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.